Book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. We have been here about three or four or five times in recent days, and we come back again to the exact same passage, the exact same verse, and it won't take a mental giant to even guess what I'll be preaching on this morning out of chapter 9, verse 6, all right? You'll be able to figure it out, so. Now, don't leave just because I'm preaching, okay? I get up to preach, my son starts walking out. And I know him, he needs it more than anybody, huh? Well, I was just kidding. And I don't think you have to go get him, it's all right, all right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want you to look this morning at those three words, the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Isaiah here, through the power of God, has given a glimpse and looks into the future and tells us that the Son who is going to be born will be called the Everlasting Father. The Son will be called the Father. Now, I know that there is a novelty song that is, it says, I'm my own grandpa. Have you ever heard that? I'm my own grandpa. You people are not very cultured. All right, I can tell. Y'all have not had been exposed to enough culture, all right? But anyway, and I suppose to say that the Son is going to be the Everlasting Father could confuse people. But at the same time, I must admit that it's almost impossible for the Son to be the Father and a normal, just regular run-of-the-mill Son. But this is not the run-of-the-mill Son, all right? This is the Lord Himself, and with the Lord all things are possible. And in this situation, it's possible because Jesus Christ is God. He is God. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in what's called in the Trinity, and which is not three separate gods, but three, if you will, God in three persons. There's God the Father, Jehovah God. There's God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. And we believe all three of them are one, but we believe all three of them are God. And you said, well, I can't understand that. I can't figure it out with my mind. Don't worry about it. You just concentrate on believing it, all right? Just believe what God said. Jesus made this statement in John chapter 10 and verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. So Isaiah knew what he was talking about when he made that statement, and when he said, his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Now, as the Everlasting Father, can I say this to you? He is all that a father ever could be. He is all that a father ever could be. He is the perfect Father. He was perfect in everything he did. He is still perfect. And he is the Father that did it all. He's the Father that does it all. He's everlasting because he is eternal. Eternal Father, all right? He never fails and he never forsakes. Now, I just want to speak to you a little bit. When you think of a father, if you were to just think about this, don't want you to answer out loud, but what do you expect of a father? What do you expect of a father? I want to tell you this, Jesus Christ is all of that and more and more. And I'm preaching to everybody today. You know, I think sometimes men come on Mother's Day and bring their wives, and secretly in their heart, they're thinking, preacher, let her have it. She needs it today. But it's all right, because on Mother's Day, the women bring their husband, and that's what they're thinking. Preacher, let him have it. He needs it. Well, I'm not just preaching to dad. I am going to preach to the dads, but I'm going to preach to everybody, okay? Everybody, because all Bible truth is good for us, okay? It's good for us, but especially, hey, Dad, would you think with me this morning, if the Lord is the eternal Father, what he ought to be should be the greatest example of what you and I ought to be as dads in this world. So would you think with me just a little bit? 3 points. Now, every point, though, has 2 hooks, all right? So here we go. Number one, he's the everlasting Father, and as such, he loves and leads his children. He loves and leads his children. As a father, he loves his children. Look, I believe I can say it without any fear. Nobody loves like Jesus Christ loves. Hey, he loves you when you're doing right or wrong. He loves you when you're serving or when you're rebelling against him. When you're faithful or when you're unfaithful, he loves you. When you're obedient or when you're disobedient, he loves you. If you're that faithful son or you're the prodigal son, you know this, the Lord never quits loving you. He loves you. He loves you all the time. His love never fails. He tells us that he loves us in the Bible. He tells us that. Hey, men, I think it's a good thing if you tell your family you love them. I think it ought to be a regular thing. We ought to just say it, all right? I remember back when I was a kid growing up, I don't remember my dad saying a lot of times that he loved us, okay? Now, it could have been the way me and my brother were. I don't know. But when we were older, though, I remember him saying many times, I love you. Now, I never doubted his love. Never doubted his love. But our Lord, I don't doubt his love either. He tells us in the Bible that he loves us. I'll tell you how much he loves us. He loved us enough to die for us. Amen. He loved us enough to lay down his life for us. To take upon him our sin. Our sin put upon him. And he took it to the cross. Why? For one reason, he loved you. He loved you. He said, preacher, I don't understand how he could love you and how he could love me that way. Neither do I. But I'll tell you this, I sure am glad he does. I sure am glad that he does. As a father, he loves his children. But as a father, he leads his children. He leads his children. There's a tremendous song that says, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes all weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Hey, how many of those places has he led you through? How many has he led you through? Been through some valleys? Been through the trouble? God still leads his children along. A man, if it's in the dark of the night, he's still in leading. He's still got us. He's leading us along. Hey, he leads us in the old paths. He leads us in the old paths. We're in a day where everybody thinks it's got to be new. Man, it doesn't have to be new. The truth of the matter is the old paths are the best paths, and that's where the Lord leads us. He's not searching out a new path. He's going to lead you in the old path, all right? And if you find yourself out over there in that new path, you might ought to take a look. Maybe he's not in front of you anymore, okay? He leads us down those old paths. Not only leads us in the old paths, but he leads us in the path that's straight. The path that's straight. Remember what the Bible said? There's a way that's broad. Hey, a lot of people go, But he said, there's a narrow gate and a straight way. Hey, that's the way the Lord leads. That's the way the Lord leads. You know, some people get so aggravated because they said, oh, Dad was strict. I don't know what your dad was like. My dad was very open-minded. He let us do whatever we wanted to. But we'd pay if it wasn't what he wanted. Yeah, I'm telling you, he was strict. But you know, I look back and say, thank God he was. Thank God he was. Thank God he led us in that way that was narrow, kept us on that straight path. And I'm so glad. Hey, men, can I tell you this? You got kids, you got grandkids. That's the path you need to lead them down, all right? Make sure you do it. So, well, I don't want them to think I'm too strict. Why not? Why not? Look, the problem is it's not how strict you are today. It's how loose everybody else is. How loose everybody else is. Not, if you're wise, you don't want a loose lug nut on your car. You don't want a loose lug nut. One time years ago, we were driving along, been to a youth rally, and all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden, it seemed like one side of the bus went over this hump, and then it was bam! The wheel fell off. The wheel on the bus don't always go round and round. Sometimes the wheel on the bus falls down. Hey, the lug nuts got loose. Hey, listen, why do we think it's okay to be loose in raising children? Hey, they need somebody to keep them straight. You said, well, they keep trying me. Yeah, but you keep straight. You keep straight. Keep them straight. Listen, our Lord led down that old path. He led down the straight path. But he always leads by example. Always leads by example. What a blessing it is to know that. To know that you're not going anywhere he's not been. You're not enduring something he hasn't endured. You're not going to go through something where he's going to say, let me know how it comes out. He's always going to be there with you. I'm reading a book right now written about a U.S. Army officer. He was a head commander of a tank force and tank battalion. His name was Maurice Rose. I'd never heard of him until I read the book. Actually, my son mentioned him to me, and later on I got the book and didn't realize the same book he was talking about. He believed in leading from the front. He was a general, but he believed in leading from up front, not in the back somewhere. He got shot at. He got wounded. All right, he got hit. He led from the front. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, that's the way our Lord leads. He's right there with us. Right there with us. The everlasting Father loves and leads his children. Loves and leads his children. Not only that, he provides and protects. He provides and protects. You ever think about the provision of God? Boy, listen, his provision is sufficient and it is very sustaining. I remind you of that verse, and you can turn there if you want to over in Philippians chapter 4, a well-known verse. You've heard it many times. Many people can probably quote it, but you might not remember where it was at. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, the everlasting Father is going to provide for you. He's going to provide for you. I love that verse in the scripture where it says you've never seen his children begging bread. Isn't that wonderful? Never seen his children begging bread. Listen, God has a way of providing for us. He's got a way of doing it. The Bible said, my God shall supply all your need. All your need. Now, I don't think he's obligated to provide every little thing you can think of that you could ever want, all right? Because so many of us want frivolous things. We want things that would be wasteful and useless. Hey, I've got some of those things. Man, I shouldn't have said that with my wife in the auditorium. she'll be able to tell me, this is it, throw it away, all right? But, hey, man, I do. I've got some of those things that are frivolous. They're worthless, but they're worth something to me, all right? They mean something to me. But God supplies our needs. He takes care of us, all right? I mean, you can count on it. He never breaks a promise. He's going to supply what you need when you need it, whatever it might be. The Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, and God said it to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. You know what? It's not just his grace. Everything, his provision is sufficient. He gives us what we need. He gives us what we need. I believe this. Not only does he supply it when and what is needed, but I believe this. I believe he supplies it where it's needed. Where it's needed. Now listen to me, okay? I believe this is why some people miss out on the provision of the everlasting Father. They're not where they ought to be, where it's given out. Now, did you hear that? His provision is sufficient, but the problem is we don't show up where we ought to be and be there to get it. We're not there. Now, if you're wise, you know where I'm going. Yeah, I'm talking about being in the house of God. All of the provision we need is not what you see on the table. It is not all clothes to dress in. It's not that. Hey, it's not finances to pay your bills. It goes beyond that. God will supply you what you need and provide it for you. But I believe with all my heart, a lot of Christians wind up wandering around and won't because they weren't where they needed to be, where God supplied the need. Man, God preached this. God had the preacher preach the sermon. It doesn't have to be me, but somebody else. But we weren't there to get it. And so we go through problems in life we don't need to go through. He said, well, I didn't know what to do. Well, if you'd have been in the house of God, you would have. Would have. He said, well, preacher, I came to Sunday school one time, but, you know, I learned something, but I haven't needed it yet. But how many other times did you miss? And you did need it, and you needed what was there, but you could have been there. You could have been there. Hey, the Word of God is preached. I don't know about y'all, but every time I go and somebody preaches to me, I get something. I get something that can be a help. Sometimes it's a reminder. Sometimes it's something there that goes, it hurts, but I needed it. And sometimes it's preventative maintenance. I don't know about y'all, but I do try to change the oil in my vehicles. Not because I want to, but I consider that preventive maintenance. I want to try to do it, all right? But I figure it's good for them. I don't wait till it starts clanking. It's a little late. I don't wait to change the oil until the oil gauge there goes. Pfft. Those are scary times, all right? Till the light comes on. I don't wait to fill up my tank till the light comes on. Try to get there ahead of that. Hey, listen, the Lord provides what we need, but oftentimes we're not there to get it. His provision is perfect, all right? He supplies what we need, but not only that, his protection. Could I just say this? His protection is flawless. His protection. As his children, you ever stop and think about it? As his children, we're never out of his reach or out of his sight. Never. You ever been somewhere with your children and all of a sudden you began to look around and you couldn't see them? Scared you maybe. I don't care where it was. It might have been in a grocery store. You know, and they swung around on another aisle. My wife can hide in a Penny's better than anybody I've ever seen. She can hide in a grocery store. I walk down the end of every aisle looking up, and undoubtedly when I pass where she is, she's on the other end, you know, at the end of that aisle where I can't see her. I've made two or three laps up and down and couldn't find her. And then I'd walk up and there she is in the middle of the aisle. Where you been? Hey, listen, we're never out of the Lord's sight. But even better, we're never out of His reach. Look, if you will, with me in the 91st Psalm. The 91st Psalm, what tremendous words are written there by the psalmist. And he's talking about God's protection. Psalm 91. Man, what marvelous words. He said in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Boy, what a promise. That's the protection of God. Protection of God. Hey, whether you see it or not, His protection's there. Whether you think, well, I can't see it. That's okay, it's there. It's there. His protection is flawless over us. Hey, man, don't say this to you. That ought to be the way we take care of our own. The Bible says if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. We ought to be the provider. We ought to be the protector. We ought to be that. That is our job. The everlasting Father, He is our provider, and He's a flawless protector. But not only do that, but He does this. He cherishes and chastens. He cherishes and chastens. He cherishes His own. You said, what does that mean? I think it goes beyond love. I think to cherish something is more than to love it. If you look up the word cherish in the dictionary, it means to nurture. It means to hold dear, to keep or cultivate with care and affection. It is more than simply a love. It is a motivation. It is a special attention, I believe, that the Lord Jesus Christ showers on us to cherish us. If you may have some things that you like, but if you have something you cherish, it is the last thing you will part with, because it is the thing you say, this is the most valuable. I cherish this above others. I am a book lover. I love books. But I've got some that you try and get them, we're going to have a fight, man. We're going to have a fight. I probably wouldn't loan them to you. There's a person here right now that's reading a book I've loaned out, or they've got one of my books. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't loan them out easily. Don't do it. I had a young guy come and sit down in my office right at the beginning of summer. A fellow I had taught in Bible college, and he'd came over for something else, but while I was there, he said, you know, if you got some advice you can give me. And so we were talking, and one of the things I talked to him about is what he read, and I asked him, have you read this book? And he said, no, never have. So I looked in the office, and I had a copy of it right there with me. Now, I've got more than one copy, or I'd have never given this to him. I loaned it to him, and I said, now, I looked at him. I said, boy, this is a loan, and I will come looking for it, okay? I will come looking for it. But I've got some that I cherish. I wouldn't part with them. I wouldn't part with them. Now, they're just books, but they're special to me. Especially me, I cherish them. Hey, I got two kids. I cherish them. I cherish them. They mean a great deal to me. Yeah, I tried to provide for them. I tried to protect them. But I still cherish them. Still cherish them. Listen, that's the way the Lord feels about us. The everlasting Father. It's that special attention He gives us, guarding us and guiding us along through life. taking us where he wants us to be, takes care of here in this earth, and wait a minute, he's preparing a place for us in heaven. Why? Because he cherishes us. Brother Roger Hawkins, member of our church for years, loved Brother Hawkins. I'll never forget, when he got saved, he got saved. I mean, it did something to him. And I'll never forget, he came to me one day and he said, "Hey, I heard a song." And he said, he didn't try to sing it, for which I'm glad. But he said, "I heard the song and it's got these words talking about the Lord. He loves me like I was his only child." You know what? That's the way the Lord loves you too. Why? He cherishes you. He cherishes you. But now hear me. I saved this part for last on purpose. He not only cherishes, but he chastens us. He chastens all whom he cherishes. He'll do that, all right? He purposely, you know, like I said, I purposely saved this for last. You'll never be a good father who, and there will never be a good father who does not chasten his own when it's needed. Not a good dad. Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. This is the plainest place, you know. There's many scriptures that we could use, but hey, Hebrews chapter 12, look if you will in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, our Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every one whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" I can't help but think that last part of verse 5 was put in there just for our day. He said, "Don't faint when thou art rebuked of him." We got people today that are so tender and touchy that if it's seemingly a harsh word is ever spoken, you know, if they're chastened, they would faint, all right? And the Lord says, "No, you need it." And he said, "Don't despise the chastening of the Lord." Hey, the everlasting Father, you hear me? The everlasting Father is going to chasten his own. But listen, he only chastens his own. You notice there in verse 7, it says, "For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" It's his son. Hey, the Father chastens his own, but he only chastens his own. He's not chastening. And you said, "Man, I don't understand why that crowd out there can live so wicked and do what they do, and man just seem to get away with it." Well, I do. That means they don't belong to God. They don't belong to God. I don't know how many times I heard my dad say about another kid when I was growing up. He said, "You know, I believe if I could spend a few days with him, I could change him." He said he needs chastening. But he never, Dad, now he probably did it to my uncle's boys, but they were family, okay? But I mean, you know, it would be some kid running down the street and throwing rocks at something and carrying on, cussing. Dad wouldn't grab him, work him over. No, because it wasn't his son. But he chastened his own. And our Lord chastens his son, but he only chastens his own, okay? If you've never felt the chastening hand of God, if you've never felt the chastening hand of God, you need to check out your salvation. You need to check out your salvation. I mean, you just need to examine it. You said, "Preachers, the Lord chastened you?" Oh, yes. Now, hey, sometimes he uses other people. But hey, he's chastened me. But I'll remind you, he chastens us because of his love. Remember, I said he loves and leads. Well, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't chasten you. And by the way, the dad says, "Well, I love my child too much to chasten him." Or the mama that says that, that's a lie. You don't love them enough. Look at verse 6. "For whom the Lord," what? "Loveth." "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." You say, well, maybe that's why I've never felt the chastening hand of God. He just doesn't love me. Oh, yeah, he loves you, I guarantee you. But if you've never felt the chastening hand, it's not because he doesn't love you. Hey, look, we need that. That chastening is done because of love. Any dad, I never, never enjoyed having to chasten my children, ever, ever. Never enjoyed it. In spite of what some of the kids that have come up in our Christian school think, I never enjoyed chastening them either. It was not fun. It wasn't pleasurable. But it was needed. It was needful. Hey, chastening is necessary, and it's for the good of the child. Aren't you glad? Listen, I told you, I'm glad my dad chastened me. I'm glad my dad was strict with me. I'm glad. Thank God for a dad that was that way. Boy, thank God that I've got an everlasting father that still will chasten me when I need it. Never got too big. I've said this before when I was I was 50, I was 50 before Dad died. If my dad in his 80s would have said, son, I'm fixing to whip you. He said, what would you have done? I'd have stood still and let him do it. I'd let him do it. He said, even if you disagreed with him, yeah, because he's my dad. Hey, listen, I'm glad I've got an everlasting father. Glad I've got an everlasting father that loves me enough to chasten me. And he does you, and it's for your good. It's for your good. That's the reason, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. He's the best father you could ever have. Maybe you look back and you don't value your dad for whatever reason, okay. But the Lord is the best father you could ever have. His example ought to provoke every dad that's here to do a better job. To do a better job. I still want to be a good dad to my two kids. Still want to be a good dad. We ought to do it. Hey, we should appreciate and thank our dad. You see it many times. If your dad's still around, you ought to thank them. You ought to thank them. Don't let day after day and year after year go by with nothing said. He said, well, we're kind of separated and we're estranged. Well, try to see if you can smooth out the estrangement, okay? Try to see if you can repair that relationship. Sometimes we get a little bit strange from our Heavenly Father, too. Well, there's things come between us and the Everlasting Father. Well, we don't want to let them stay there, okay? We need to work on that. Never miss a chance. I don't think you ought to miss a chance to spend time and talk with your dad on this earth. If you've got a chance, you ought to enjoy that and take advantage of it. But wait a minute, never should you miss a chance to walk and talk with the Heavenly Father either. That's time that's important that's spent. My wife was out of town this last week. Most of you know my mother-in-law's in a assisted living place. And my wife goes every day, almost every day, and since she was out of town, I told her I'll do my best. And I made it there every day and sat down and talked with her. Now, when you sit and talk with my mother-in-law, it's the ideal situation that some of you would truly enjoy. Because you have to do all the talking. The only thing she will say pretty much is just repeat something you say. So, I got the chance. I preached this sermon to her the other day. Now, the condensed version, okay? But I preached it to her and talked to her a little bit, you know, and just in talking with her. Why? It's valuable time. Valuable time. I tell her all the time, you're my favorite mother-in-law. And she never has seemed to be impressed with that. But it is true. She is my favorite mother-in-law. Value the opportunity to spend with her. Listen to me. You ought to value the time you get to spend with the Lord. I look at being in church as part of that time. Because he says if two or more gather in his name, he'll be there in the midst. It's good to be with him. It's good to be able to, though, when you're on your own, to walk and talk with him. Don't let that time go by. And let me say this, accept his chastisement and get right. Get right. I've seen kids and you've seen kids and maybe you've been the kid. And you got chastised by your parent and you got mad. I've seen them get mad, go off in a huff. I never did that with my dad. Not because I was perfect, but because he wouldn't let me. There was no going off in a huff, okay? That didn't happen. Hey, accept his chastisement. Take it. Take it. There's a phrase that's not heard anymore. I suppose it's considered sexist in our day. But take it like a man. Take it. Get your act together. Do what God wants you to do. Hey, there's the everlasting Father. He loves us and he leads us. He provides for us. He protects us. He cherishes us. And he chastens us. We might enjoy the cherishing, we might not enjoy the chastening. But the truth is we need them both. We need them both. He's the everlasting Father. Hey, Dad, let me ask you, how much of his example do you follow? Do you follow? Hey, that cherishing part doesn't mean lenient and anything goes. No. Hey, that leading part doesn't mean where do you want to go and I'll take you. No. It's where, this is where you need to go. Let me show you. Let me show you. Yeah. Hey, do those of your children know how much you love them? Do they know you love them? They enjoy your protection, your provision. Hey, what kind of dad are you? How much appreciation do you show to the everlasting Father? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. You'd help us see the truth of the Scripture. And Lord, today,